Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. We talk a lot on this show about the idea of community, and in fact, I like to think of Detroit Today, our listeners, and me, and our staff here at WDET as a community. But we want to spend the rest of the time today talking more literally about the idea of community, the communities that we all live in and are physically a part of. What's your role in moving that community forward? Have you ever stopped to really ask yourself that question? And if so, what answer do you come up with? And what do you do next? Have you made the decision that you want to engage in your community in a more meaningful way, in a way that maybe changes that community for the better? And if so, how do you try to do that? And if you did, what was the result? We're going to talk about that and what it means to engage thoughtfully within a city or a community. And it's also a question that panelists are going to dig into this afternoon at 4 as part of Wayne State University's Arthur L. Johnson Urban Perspectives Lecture Series. It's going to highlight participants in a project called I.Detroit, where they were recognized for their roles in the city's culture, history, activism, and devotion. You can attend this event in person at Wayne State University's Undergraduate Library in the Bernath Auditorium, or you can attend virtually. To register or get more information, go to events.wayne.edu. And joining us now are two people who are going to be participating in this event. John Corvino is the dean of the Irvin D. Reed Honors College at Wayne State University. He's going to be the moderator for today's Arthur L. Johnson Urban Perspectives Lecture Series panel. John, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Chase Cantrell. He's a Detroit-based attorney and the founder and executive director of the nonprofit Building Community Value. Chase, welcome to Detroit Today as well.
Good morning, Stephen. Always great to be with you.
So, John, start here. Explain what the I.Detroit Human Atlas of an American City project is and why it's significant.
So, the I.Detroit project is a profile of 100 Detroiters who are changemakers that was conceived by British artist Marcus Lyon. And, you know, when you hear about a British artist coming to Detroit to profile 100 Detroiters, at least my reaction initially was to get a little nervous because, you know,
who's he going to talk to, right?
Yeah, right. So I like, well, because, you know, I've lived in the city for 24 years and I have seen people come to treat Detroit literally as a photo op. You know, you come in, it's like, look at us, we're the pioneers coming to this gritty city. And what was wonderful about this project is that Marcus Lyon approached this very, very thoughtfully. There was a six-month nomination process where he talked to people in the city of Detroit. It was very interactive. And then he chooses 100 Detroiters while recognizing that, of course, there are many significant people in the city, many changemakers in the city, including Chase, who is one of the people profiled in the book. And he does photographic portraits, but also genealogies, talking about how people got here, how their families got here. There is an interactive video. It's funny, I had a student in my office, a high school student yesterday, who was flipping through the book and took out his phone and started doing something. He's like, this is really cool. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I downloaded the app, and there are these interactive things. And you know, it takes me that long to remember my password to do something. But so it's this really integrated project that thoughtfully engages with people of the city and profiles and celebrates those people for the influence they've had.
Yeah, and we've actually talked with Marcus here on Detroit Today about his project and how he put it together, how he thought of what he was doing and what he was trying to send and as a message, not just to Detroit, but to the world about this collection of Detroiters. That's a show you can go to WDET.org and find by searching. But John, talk about how then this connects to the idea of engagement with a city or a community in a meaningful way.
Well, you know, here at Wayne State, because we are a public research university right in the city of Detroit, we try to engage thoughtfully with the community. I mean, a lot of universities have a kind of town and gown problem and how they relate to people in the community. We feel very much more embedded in the community. And two of my colleagues, Dr. Beth Fowler and Dr. Brian Ellis, decided to do a course this term about the iDetroit project and use it as a springboard for thinking about what thoughtful engagement with a community means, you know, what it means, you know, not just to go in and study a community, but to engage with, learn from, converse with the people of a community. One of the people profiled in the book, Marcia Music, and there's a thing that she says that I love, which is that, you know, people always talk about Detroit's comeback, and she's like, what's this comeback? You came back. We were here all along. Where were you? you know, this notion that there are people here, we live here, we work here, we thrive here, and to approach that in a thoughtful way. And so my two colleagues who are teaching that course right now chose five of the people from the book. I mean, there's so many amazing people in this book and amazing people not in this book, but they chose five of the people from the book to have a public conversation about this question of what does it mean to engage thoughtfully with a city.
So, Chase, I want to bring you into the conversation here and have you talk about the work that you're doing through Building Community Value and how that fits into this conversation about community.
Sure. Well, Building Community Value is an organization that was founded about 6 years ago, and it really is in response to the vision that Detroiters have of their own neighborhoods. So we all know that over the past 10 years, we've seen just a rapid increase in economic development and development in the built environment in our city. And if you're a Detroit resident living in a neighborhood, oftentimes you might see a house across the street or, you know, a small commercial building on the corner and really have a vision for it. I don't think there's any lack of that sort of insightfulness and that sort of visionary emphasis in our neighborhood. So, you know, we started this org in order to give Detroiters the tools to truly have agency over their neighborhood. So teaching them how to do real estate development, what it means, how to talk to lenders, how to talk to professionals like architects and contractors to actually make these projects work and pencil out. So that's what we do. But you know, it's more than economic development. And I always get pretty emotional when I'm teaching the course because people come in who have lived in Detroit, most of the participants have lived in Detroit most of their lives. And the stories that they tell of seeing the evolution of their neighborhoods and wanting to do something to truly positively impact community. Like that's really the point. It's just giving Detroiters and sort of, you know, unlocking the agency that's already there and letting them know that economic development and, you know, the changes that we see are not something that you have to, that you just have to experience as something coming from the outside, but that you yourself can have, you know, tools to actually lead the change that we see. So that's what we do at BCV. And it's been truly rewarding because we've seen after 300 Detroiters and also residents of Highland Park and Hamtramck have gone through the program that we have folks who have gone back to their neighborhoods and done projects and are continuing to build their development practices. So it's just really heartening to see what Detroiters want to do and what they have done.
One of the things I really love about this project is that it embraces the idea that all of us can learn an awful lot about how to make differences in our community. And I think that's not, I guess that's not always a foregone conclusion. I mean, I think for a lot of people, the assumption sometimes is, well, I live here and I have ideas, so that's what I need. But for so many of us also, that's just not true. I mean, this is harder than just coming up with an idea. It's harder than just wanting things to be better in your community. And there is a base of community knowledge, I guess, that we want to build up among people who live here in Detroit so that more of the things that we dream can actually happen, and doing that work to build that knowledge through this course and sending people back out into the community is a key piece that we haven't always had in place.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And what's wonderful is there's another panelist, Tiffany Brown, a local African-American architect who leads 400 Forward. And, you know, whereas, you know, BCV teaches adults, she's teaching children. She wants to embed in our youth the idea from a very early age that, again, they have control over their built environment, and that they can vision for the future, and that they have the tools as early as possible to know that as they move into adulthood, that they can be the leaders in their communities. So, you know, this sort of work is happening all over the city in all different formats and forms. And it's not new. I find that, you know, I've lived in Detroit almost all my life. And, mm-hmm. you know, this kind of work is something that we do naturally. So to the point that John was making, citing Marsha Music, you know, we've been doing the work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a chance yesterday. There's a group of philanthropic leaders that came to Detroit because, you know, leaders from across the nation are very interested in what's happening here. So they were visiting, they took a bus tour, they had a presentation from Mayor Duggan. And really one of the things that came up was just this idea that, hey, we've been doing this and the nation is just catching up to the fact that, you know, Detroiters have been rolling up our sleeves for many, many decades. But now there's the interest in understanding how we're doing it, how it can be funded, because that's always an important question in Black communities across
that's
the nation.
Absolutely right.
Where is the capital? So yeah. I think we're having more robust conversations now about how we actually give people in community the resources and the money to make these projects really robust and really happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking with John Corvino and Chase Cantrell, two panelists at the Arthur L. Johnson lecture series that's going to take place at Wayne State University today at 4:00. You can attend that in person at Wayne State University's undergraduate library in the Bernath Auditorium, or you can attend virtually. You just have to register and get more information at events.wayne.edu. We're talking about community and the way we build community, the way that each of us individually has agency over building those communities, the physical communities that we live in. How do we change them to make them better? We want to hear from you during the conversation as well. What does it mean to you to engage thoughtfully in your community? How do you think everyday people can move their communities forward in a meaningful way? Call in and share your stories of how you engage in your community. Talk about how easy or hard it is. And talk about what kinds of things might make it easier. The kinds of things that could help clear the way for the kind of work that you want to do in your community. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page, put comments there, or you can go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today. We'll work you into the conversation that way. Let's go to Bernadette in Old Redford. Bernadette, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen. How I participate in my community is by being Block Club president. And we have a relatively small Block Club, but getting young people involved is such a massive job. They can come up with one excuse after another for why they're too busy. That frustrates me. I'm also frustrated by people not taking care of their curb. Yesterday, I grabbed a broom and a shovel and just went down our block mile long and just started scraping debris and bottles and trash from the curb, because I don't want our street looking like certain parts of, let's say, Highland Park. I want to come and turn down my street and have nice trees and clean curbs and grass that's cut.
So tell me a little about the block club that you lead there, Bernadette, and who's part of it, and I guess how you might get more people to be part of it so that some of these things that you're talking about might look a little different.
Okay, it's called Harvest Community Block Club, and we are located west of Telegraph. And this is an area that people think is truly part of Redford Township, but mm-hmm. it's not. So
it's
it extends from Telegraph half a mile. And I came ready to volunteer to be a secretary, and everybody said, "Fooey, secretary, we need you to be president." And so that would happen. We would meet monthly and introduce ourselves. And 2 years in, we got the pandemic, and everybody is scared to come and be inside of a building because most of our population is over 60.
Okay. Okay. Bernadette, I really appreciate you calling and sharing that experience. Chase and John, I'll give you a chance to respond. Chase, I'll start with you.
Sure. Bernadette, I really want to thank you for calling in. And I know that you're a caller who has called in before. I love what you're talking about, because Block clubs have always been at the cornerstone of community in Detroit. And I often say that, you know, a lot of that work feels like thankless, unrewarded work, but it's the important work that has kept our communities beautiful and safe. And it's not just a way to beautify a community. It's also one of the key ways that neighborhoods throughout Detroit have gotten information to residents. So, you know, we are in a period where we have a more robust governmental presence than we may have had in certain periods in the past. But before that time, you know, getting information to residents, it still can be difficult, but Block clubs have always been vital as an information source and as a source for participation. So, I mean, these are truly, truly important parts of our ecosystem. And, you know, sort of going up the chain, you know, you have Block clubs, you have community development organizations sort of at the next tier. And all of these really are vital to beautification efforts, information efforts, getting relationship building between communities and government. Which a lot of these Block clubs often welcome in staff members from the districts and from the mayor's office. So, I mean, these are truly important, and I'm glad, Bernadette, that you're doing that work. And I have heard many times that it is difficult to get my generation. So I'm a elder millennial, but my generation and younger involved. But I think part of it really is just serving as that example. That what is possible, and keeping at it to try to get those youth involved. But I know that it is a challenge.
Yeah. John?
Yeah, I mean, what I love about what Bernadette said is that it started with an individual who decided, look, I want to live in a beautiful community. I don't want, you know, trash on the streets. I want to do something, and literally rolled up her sleeves and got out there to do something, and then organized with other people through a block club. I live in Northwest Detroit. We have a thriving neighborhood association in Sherwood Forest where I live. And, you know, we often say, you know, you often will come to these neighborhoods for the trees, for the architecture, but you stay for the people, because there really are wonderful people in our neighborhoods. And it's another reason why it frustrates me, and this happens less than it used to, but when you leave Detroit and you travel and you tell somebody that you're from Detroit and they're like, oh, but where are you really from? You're like Royal Oak, Ferndale, Grosse Pointe. It's like, no, I'm from Detroit. And I've actually had people say to me, I didn't think anyone lived in Detroit. I was like, what do you mean you didn't think anyone lived in Detroit? And this is the kind of thing that we really want to highlight and celebrate, and that, you know, Marcus Lyons' project celebrated, that, you know, today's event is going to celebrate, that we have these wonderful change makers in Detroit, you know, from block club members to, you know, people like, you know, Chase, who run organizations, and all across the board.
We're going to come back and continue this conversation about community, how we shape our communities, how we get more involved in our communities. I'm going to continue to hear more from you on the phones and on social media. 313-577-1019 is the number. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to social media and put comments there. We'll work you into the conversation. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Got two guests right now, John Corvino, who's the dean of the Irvin D. Reed Honors College at Wayne State University. He is going to moderate today's Arthur L. Johnson Urban Perspectives Lecture Series panel on what it means to thoughtfully engage with a city. That is today at 4 p.m., and you can attend that event in person at 4, or you can attend it virtually. Also with us is Chase Cantrell. He is a Detroit-based attorney and the founder and executive director of the nonprofit Building Community Value. We're talking about what it means to engage in a city. Chase will be a panelist on that lecture series as well. Again, you can attend that at 4 p.m. at Wayne State University's Undergraduate Library in the Bernath Auditorium, or you can attend virtually. To do either, you can go to events.wayne.edu to find more information. We want to hear from you during this conversation as well about your community, how you're participating in it, how you're working to make it different or better. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook and Twitter, put comments there. We'll work you into the conversation. Let's go next to Adrian in Detroit. Adrian, welcome to the show.
Morning. I'm glad you extended this on an extra hour so that I got in just before the next hour. But I want to say this. I have grown up in Detroit, still live here, have traveled the world from Africa to Paris. I'm never ashamed when they say, where are you from? I tell them boldly, I'm from Detroit. I live in East English Village. I walk the little island there. I pick up trash. Everyone may not participate in keeping your area clean, but it's each individual's responsibility to clean up your area. Your next door neighbor may not clean theirs, but you must clean yours. What is that saying? I may not clean the whole ocean, but this part I can take care of right here. So if everyone does their part, then we wouldn't necessarily need everyone to attend a block club, would we?
Adrian, interesting point, and I absolutely love the idea of individual agency that you're pointing up, right? The idea that each of us has the ability to shape the community that we live in and some responsibility to do that as well. Let's go next to Trajan in Detroit. Trajan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Stephen. Can you hear me?
I can.
Great. I am the Roseo Park Radio Patrol president. And what that entails is the Roseo Park Radio Patrol is a city's police, Detroit Police Department sponsored nonprofit volunteer organization. We have a team of volunteers from all around the neighborhood who take about 2 hours a month out of their month to drive around the neighborhood and look for, you know, not only crimes that are taking place, right? We have a direct line to the Detroit Police Department if we do see any crimes taking place, but also looking for things like down tree limbs or street lights, street signs that have been knocked down or are inoperable anymore, and report those through the Improve Detroit app to really, you know, improve the appearance and the safety of the neighborhood.
Trajan, I wonder how, how empowered and supported, you feel in not just in your neighborhood, but in the city to be able to take this kind of action and do these kind of things.
So I would say we feel really empowered. The city has an excellent liaison with the Detroit Police Department, Myra Gracie. She works with she's a member of the Detroit Police Department who specifically focuses on the community engagement and on the radio patrol, even more specifically. We have patrols all across the city throughout a variety, over a dozen neighborhoods across the city. The police department actually pays for our volunteers' vehicle mileage. So, we as an organization in the neighborhood have quarterly meetings, and we have guest speakers from city officials who come in and talk about things like crime or police initiatives that are going on in the city, safety-related initiatives. And then the city also has quarterly citywide radio patrol meetings hosted by Myra, and she also has city leaders such as the chief of police, even individuals who give crime data and statistics. It's a really well-run organization, a really well-run program, and we feel very supported from the city.
Yeah. Trajan, I appreciate the call and the comments. John and Chase, before we have to end, we have only got about 2 minutes left, but I want to have both of you address one of the topics that's slated to be part of this afternoon's conversation. It's social agency. What does that mean to you, and why is it important here in Detroit? John, I'll start quickly with you.
So I always look at this through the lens of, you know, being an educator, a professor, and a dean, where, you know, I have students, some of whom come and think, well, you know, the world kind of happens, and there's not much for me to do. Things are going to happen anyway, and we try to encourage them. It's like, no, there are things you can do. You can cooperate with others. You can make change. You can do that in a thoughtful way. And then, you know, on the other hand, there are students who just want to get out and do all kinds of things, and I try to, you know, give them a dose of humility and say, look, you know, yes, there are lots of things we can do, but there are other people doing those things already, and, you know, we need to check in with them first, we need to talk to them. And striking that balance can be very important when we think about social agency, and, you know, it's one of the things we'll talk about tonight.
Yeah. Chase, go ahead.
So one of the things that I often think through is that we don't always do a good job at mapping sort of the tools that we have. Like, we talk a lot about economic development, we talk a lot about employment or safety, but we don't talk about the outcomes, right? Like, what we're looking for. If we're talking about jobs, we're not talking about dignity or fulfillment. If we're talking about development, we're not talking about the connectedness to community. I think we heard in all of the callers' voices just how proud they were to be connected and to be doing something and to be participating. So I think for me, social agency isn't just about the change, but it's about what happens within the individual and how they feel and the emotions it provokes in relation to their neighborhood, their community, into their city. So for me, it really is about thinking beyond just the tools and the actions, but thinking about the outcomes that we produce in the individual. So that's social agency for me.
Yeah. Okay, John Corvino and Chase Cantrell, you can see them both on this panel at Wayne State University, at the Wayne State University Undergraduate Library in the Bernath Auditorium. Just go to events.wayne.edu. John and Chase, thanks for being here on Detroit Today, and good luck on your panel.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when Congresswoman Debbie Dingell is going to join the program to talk about the latest news from Washington. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.